The goal today is to learn a little bit of Parshas Yisro and then see if we connect it with Parshas Beshalach. And what I specifically have in mind, if you open up to your Chumash on page 176, you'll see that the Torah gives us the Mitzvah of Shabbos. And this is in Shmos Perek Chav, Pasuk Ches. And it's very interesting because commonly we identify Shabbos as a losaseh, and the Torah says that losaseh kol molochin pasuk yud, and we know shomalech. We know that there are 39 categories of molocha, and they're all asur. But actually, if you want to be more precise about it, when the Torah introduces the mitzvah of Shabbos in pasuk ches, which is the first pasuk here about Shabbos, it says, Zocher es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. How would you classify that? Is that a mitzvah los aseh or a mitzvah aseh?
It depends.
What would you say, Michael? I would say it's an aseh. Because Zocher es Yom HaShabbos means to remember the Shabbos. That's a positive command. And, you know, the Iser Malacha comes later on when it says, Lo Saseh Kol Malacha. And if we take a look for a moment in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Mem Beis, which is the opening Siman to Hilchos Shabbos, you know, the Shulchan Aruch dedicates a number of, I would almost say volumes to Hilchos Shabbos. You know, if you have a six set volume of Mishnah Berurah, a six volume set, you'll find that two out of six are dedicated to the laws of Shabbos, maybe more than that. So the opening Siman here is Reish Mem Beis. And again, the emphasis here is not on the los aseh of Shabbos, but rather on the essay of Shabbos. So, George, we have an extra copy of the Mishnah Berurah for you here, if you want one. And the name of the Siman, as the Shulchan Aruch codifies it, is Lehizayr B'Kvod Shabbos, that one should be very careful about Kvod Shabbos. Now, amongst the various issues that the Mishnah Berurah, that the Mechaber addresses here, and specific issues about Kvod Shabbos, for example, in Sif Aleph, he's interested in knowing about somebody who doesn't have the funds to spend for Kvod Shabbos. Should he beg, borrow, and steal, so to speak, from others? And then if you take a look a little bit later on, he writes about Sheyu, B'gadav Mechubasim. He should make sure that his clothes are very clean, and all this is because of Kvod Shabbos. Now, within the context of Kvod Shabbos, we also have the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah, as you all know, right? And with regard to Lechem Mishnah, you take a look in the Ramah here in Reish Mem Beis, and he writes that Noagim Lolush Kedeshir Chala, and he speaks about both Shabbos and Yontif, that we should prepare Lechamim, special breads that we have Mafresh Chala from them, and we cut them on Shabbos and Yontif. And this he summarizes by saying, Vahu Mikvod Shabbos V'Yontif. So anything that has to do with Bitsias Lechem is to be categorized under the rubric of Kvod Shabbos, which applies also to Yontif. Then at the end here of the Ramah in Reish Mem Beis, he quotes a very interesting minhag. He writes, Yeshe Kosvu, there are those who write, Shevimiktas Mekomos, Nagu Lechol Molyaisa. Now the word Molyaisa is a combination of like Hebrew and Aramaic, and it means something with a filling in it. What would you call it in modern English? Is there a word for it? Anything that has like a pie, you know what I mean, with a filling inside of it? So that's called Molyaisa. And he says that in the language in Krakow, you know, in the Ramah's time, it was called a pashtida. And this pashtida appears, you know, pops up in many different areas of halacha. For example, you'll find it in Hilchas Chala, you'll find it in Hilchas Pesach, you know, you'll find it in Hilchas Brachos, which, you know, whether a pashtida is like a pas, and you make hamotzi on it, or it's not like a pas, and you make mezonos on it. So the word pashtida is kind of a common word in halacha. And frankly speaking, I personally am not familiar with this minhag. Is anybody familiar with this minhag to have this pashtida on Leil Shabbos?
No.
Okay, so I don't know. Somehow it got lost in the shuffle, but apparently the Rambam makes a big deal about it. He even tells you that not only is this pashtida, you know, a special delicacy for Kovet Shabbos, but it has another dimension to it also. It's Zecher Laman. Now, I have two questions for you. First of all, why are we making a Zecher Laman on Shabbos? And number two, why is the pashtida a Zecher Laman?
It's like the tub, isn't it?
Oh, because he says Shahayim Mechusa Milamala Ulamata.
Yes.
When you looked at the man, you didn't see the man immediately. It was covered. It was concealed. It had a covering over the top and a covering over the bottom. And the pashtida is sort of like a physical representation of the man. Now, my second question is even an easier question to answer, I think. Why are we making a zechel man on Shabbos?
Talks the whole time about that they couldn't collect
them. Right. So what happened was, if you recall, and this is going to connect us from Shabbos and Parshas Yisro back to the Parsha of Man in Parshas B'Shalach, is that in Parshas B'Shalach the Torah tells us that they had to prepare the extra portion of Man on Friday on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, because since there would be no Man falling down from Shemayim on Shabbos, what would they do on Shabbos? They would have a second portion on Erev Shabbos. Now, on this particular piece in the Ramah about the Pashtida, there's a Bir Halacha, which you'll see in my edition, it's on the bottom right, where it says Zecher Laman Shoyim Mechusa. Do you have such a thing?
Yes.
George, can you find it? You know, every edition of the, every printing of the Mishnah Berurah is slightly different, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You found it?
Yeah.
Okay. He says, L'chaora, minag ze tamua l'rabim. He says he doesn't seem to understand this minhag. And when he says l'rabim, I think it means for, you know, many people have wondered about this. So David, all that you missed so far is that the Ramah codifies, well, that's from my 9 o'clock list. The Ramah codifies a minhag that they used to eat on Friday night pashtida. Pashtida is a kind of a pie with a filling inside of it, and it was covered on both sides with some sort of mizonos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with such a minhag. I never saw it. But
I used to hear it on Shabbos day, not night.
Oh, so he has like it on Kugel, Friday right? Night.
A little bit like Kugel.
Maybe like Kugel, I don't know. But Kugel is, has a hard covering on the top and maybe hard on the bottom. I don't know.
Depends how it's
I thought since you're married to a French woman, maybe she knows the French minhag. Maybe you can find out if they did it in France. I don't know.
It doesn't sound very saucy. Like, you know, on Friday we could have a sauce, right? But on Shabbos day we don't have more of a problem with sauce.
Anyway, so the Ramah has this minhag, and the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha is not too excited about it. Here, let me give you, I'll give you this. I have another copy of it. So, this is the Bir Halacha. Here, take a look here. Zecher Laman. Okay, then? All right. So, let's read through the Bir Halacha. He says the following. Ma roi lasos b'shabbos zikaron laman. Why are we making this memory, this remembrance of the man on Shabbos? Shelo yarad bo klal. It's a little bit odd. When did the man fall for Shabbos? On Friday, on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. And here we're embellishing the Achila of Shabbos with a Zecher Laman, and the man didn't even fall on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that this is not his own original question. This question is raised by Tosfos in the last parak of Psochim, Arvei Psochim. And what is Tosfos right there? Tosfos says the Mishum Shlo Yorad Haman Yesh Laso Zecher Lo. So you remember something that you're missing. So since on Shabbos you're missing the man, because the Yerida didn't happen on Shabbos, it only fell on yesterday. So to remind us of the man that would have fallen, if not for the fact that Shabbos we're going to eat this Pashtida, or for example, you know that we cut a double. Right, two lechamim on Leil Shabbos. That's also Zecher Laman, because man came down on two portions, but that's again odd. Why on Shabbos are we eating lechem mishnah zechel man when there was no man on Shabbos, in fact? But the answer is that Tosfos says, since we're missing that element of Yerida Saman that took place every other day of the week, we have to sort of replace it with a double portion on Shabbos. Vahu dochuk. And I never saw this in my life before, that the Mishnah Berurah would give a sort of like a secondary grade to a Tosfos, the Zed dochuk. But in any event, I think he's only motivated to do so because he found another interpretation of this whole concept of Zeichel Laman on Shabbos. And he says the following. He says the following. According to Tosfos, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you, if without reading the next line, if you could, I just want to quiz you. If you were to understand that the reason why we eat Pashtida on Shabbos is to remind ourselves that the man didn't fall on Shabbos, would you advocate eating Pashtida on Leil Yontif as well?
No.
Yes, I would, because just like the man didn't fall on Shabbos, it didn't fall on Yontif either.
Well, why you can carry on?
Well, I think it's more than just carrying. There might be other prohibitions involved as well. I don't know.
Because you can actually cook it on Yontif.
Maybe it has to do with cooking.
So there was a double cook.
He says, Lefize hoylehem lasos Pashtida gam biyontif. The Mishnah Berurah says that according to Rama's logic, based on Tosfos, that they didn't have the man on Shabbos, well, they didn't have the man on Yontif. That's why on Yontif we also have Lechem Mishnah, because the man didn't fall on Yontif. So he says, if the Rama advocates a minhag of Pashtida on Shabbos, he should be consistent about it. If it's based on man, we should be eating a Pashtida on Yontif as well, just like we have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif. And he says the Rama is not so. Le'inyon lechomim, the beginning of this Rama, we discussed having special breads, complete beautiful breads for Yontif and Shabbos. Here the Rama makes no distinction between Shabbos and Yontif. Le'inyon zeh, but in the very next line, the Rama points out that, let's just read the Rama, but mixas v'kos nogu lechel mul yaisish kompish taita belel Shabbos. He seems to be isolating, singling out Leil Shabbos. V'aramol inyan lechomim k'omer b'Shabbos v'yontif linyan zeh. However, with regard to Pashtida, k'omer rak b'Leil Shabbos mashma dafka k'omer. So at this point, the Bir Halacha quotes a sefer called the Toras Chaim. I don't remember who the author is, but I remember he's quite an extensively quoted mefarish, the Toras Chaim. And he gives a tam hagun lezeh. He gives an explanation that the Mishnah Berurah gives a high grade for. And he says the following. Lefi, the Shabbos breishis. Okay, now we get into Shabbos. You know, we had the first Shabbos, which is Shabbos breishis. And hu dugmas Shabbos shali osid lovo shiyom shikul Shabbos. The concept of Shabbos is connected not just with the seventh day of each week, but also with the ultimate experience in the world to come. That's called Me'ein Olam Haba. You've heard that phrase? That Shabbos
yes,
is Me'ein Olam Haba. Yes,
we
sing it in the Zmiris. And the reason for that is that the first Shabbos that God rested is meant to be the Shabbos. It's meant to be
paradigm.
Vision, a paradigm of what the ultimate Shabbos will be, Liyosid Lova. And he says that many things that we do on Shabbos is, in a sense, to, you know, foretell, so to speak, to as a harbinger of what's going to come in the ultimate Shabbos. For example, he says, our minhag is to eat basar v'dagim. Why do we eat meat and fish on Shabbos? He says, k'neged sudas shar habar v'liv yasam. That in the world to come, we're going to eat something called sharabar, that's a special kind of meat, and livyasam is a special kind of a fish. Not only that, he says, mekachim al yayin, why do we choose yayin on Leil Shabbos? Keneged yayin ha-meshumar ba'anovav l'tzadikim sh'lasid lovav. There's a certain kind of a wine that's being separated and protected, designated for the tzadikim at the end of time. Ukvar Omru Dal Zeh al Shem Zeh Nikra Shchokim. Interesting. that when you crush the grapes and you form this wine, it's called Shchakim, because Shchakim also means the higher realms of the heavens. And the Shchakim min Shchakim man latzadikim li asid lavo, that the man is going to be reinstated for the tzaddikim at the end of time. And of course the man comes from where? From Shemayim, from the higher divine worlds, which is called Shchakim. He says, Ulekach shapir yesh lasos b'shabes zechel amanahu. In other words, the man that we are recognizing and remembering on Shabbos when we eat the pashtida is the man of li'asid lava, because Shabbos is me'ain Shabbos of li'asid lava. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, it makes sense that this custom of eating malyusa on pashtida, malyusa on Leil Shabbos, is limited to Leil Shabbos, because Shabbos is the dugma, it's the microcosm or the image of Shabbos, of Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Because in the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, we'll eat basar, we'll eat dogim, and we'll have yayin, and we'll also have the man. Again, this is all for the tzaddikim. We also love Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Now, let's just make one point over here. I don't know, I can't answer this question, is the man that's going to fall for the tzaddikim, Li Asid Lava, also going to be covered on two sides, like the man at the time of Parshas Peshalach?
It doesn't need to be.
I don't think it would need to be. It's not necessarily so. And furthermore, what bothers me is that if the Ramaz Minog here of Pashtida is connected with the Yom Shekul Shabbos Lasid Lavo, the man for the tzaddikim, why is it necessary to eat this meat in a pie, that's covered on both sides? That seems to be secondary. If you look in the Ramaz language, he puts so much emphasis on this. He says, what's unique about pashtida? You can eat many different things and say, well, zeich leman. But we do it with the pashtida because of this kisui on both sides. I get the impression, again, I can't take a shvud oraisa here, I can't take an oath on this, but that the Ramaz pointing to the kisui, that dimension of man, which is the covering of the man, rather than the man itself. I'm not saying that the Ramah is de-emphasizing the man itself. Obviously, the man is a great gift that we anticipate loss in love, and the tzaddikim will receive the man. But I think that this choice of pashtida, the way the Ramah formulates it in words and sentences, seems to be emphasizing that dimension of man, that it's mechusa, that it's covered on both the top and the bottom.
And why in the future, why we won't have necessarily covered on both sides?
Again, it's, Leos and Lava, the tzaddikim will enjoy the man. I don't know if it has to be mechusa. The idea of mechusa, as we'll soon see, was something unique to that generation that went into the wilderness, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, it's going to be covered, it's going to be protected, and there'll be tal, and you'll reveal the man, all that seems to be, but why in general is that the emphasis? Do you follow what I'm saying, David? Why are we looking for a zecher, a memory device, to remember the kisu? Why is that so? That seems to be what the pashtida in the Ramaz frame of reference is all about. Okay. Now, what I'd like to ask you the following. The concept of remembering the man. Give me a knee-jerk response to this question, because I want you to get the wrong answer, okay? So then I can be mechadish to you the right answer. Should we be remembering the man on Shabbos, and only on Shabbos? Add to it Yontif, if you like, because the man didn't fall on Yontif. Or should we be remembering the man the whole year long?
Yeah. Every day, it would seem.
Right? Every day, okay. So you got the right answer, which for me was the wrong answer, but it's really the right answer. But it's good. It's every single day. Now, how do I know that it's every single day? So for that, again, I apologize. I don't have it for you, but it's really just one line over here. You open up the Shulchan Aruch to Siman Aleph. This is the first Siman in the Shulchan Aruch. Imagine, Shulchan Aruch wrote four volumes. And in Or HaChaim, which is one of the four, he opens up with the following statement, and he says, I'll read it to you. Tov lomar parshas ha'akeda u'parshas ha'man v'yaseres ha'dibros u'parshas ola u'mincha u'shlamim v'chatos v'yosham. Now wait a second, let's go slowly. First of all, what day of the week is he talking on about?
Every day.
This is every day, because this is called Hanhogas Ha'odom Baboker. This is Siman Aleph in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in Hilchos Shabbos Reish Mem Beis. Another point I want to make is that some of what the Machaber says over here is quite well known to us. It's not a surprise. This is very much ingrained in our minog. He says Parashas Ha'ola and all the other karbonos that we have. You know, we say karbonos on a daily basis. But then he adds three other parashios. He's got the Akedah. Now, if you look at your Siddur, you'll see that even before karbonos, it has the parasha of the Akedah. And again, there's a long discussion in the Mishnah Berurah, which I don't want to get off on a tangent, as to why we should read the Akedah on a daily basis. And then we have the Aseres HaDibros, which is also in some Siddurim, I don't know if in all Siddurim, is published at the end of your davening. The Rambam, you should know, was opposed to reading Aseres HaDibros on a daily basis. He felt it would put too much emphasis on the Aseres HaDibros. But in any event, again, a long discussion as to why we want to read the Aseres HaDibros on a daily basis. And then right here, in the middle of this Pashtida, he's got Man, Parshas HaMan. So I'll read to you what the Mishnah Berurah says here about Parshas HaMan. He says the following. Parshas HaMan, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you want to make a note of it, I'll give you my copy in a second to look at. This is in Siman Aleph, Sifkot Yud Gimel. So that's 1:13. He writes, Kedei sheyamin, so that a Jew will believe, shekol mizonosov ba'in bashgacha protis. That's a pretty heavy statement here. That all the finances, all the assets that a person has, it's all a divine intervention, a supervision over the individual. Whatever I'm getting, it's from him. Kedichsiv. Now, why is the man a proof that our mizonos are coming from him? Bashkocha protis. Dichsiv hamarbe lo hedif vahamamit lo hichsir. Okay, let's take a look at that pasuk for a moment. And that's in Shmos Perek Tezayin. Let's see if we can find it. Just 1 second. Here it is on page 166, all the way in the bottom. That's pasuk Yudalit. It says, in other words, no matter how much you collected or how little you collected, whatever you collected, that was enough miraculously, in other words, according to the number of people in the house. Says the Mishnah Berurah Lahoros, this is a lesson for our emunah, for our faith, she'ein ribui ha'ishtadlus mo'il ma'uma. That no matter how hard you work, it all depends on what's inscribed up there in the books. And he says, "V'isav b'Yushalmi de Masechta Brachos kol Omer Parshas Haman Muvtach lo shelo yismah tu mizonosav." Now, I want to make a claim here, and I'm not sure if I'm right, and it's a pretty heavy accusation. But I'm going to try to prove it to you. And you'll be the juror. Either you'll think I'm right or I'm wrong. And that's okay if you want to disagree with me. It's a free country. I believe that people misread this Mishnah Berurah and come to a very wrong conclusion. And people read Parshas Haman whenever they read it. You know, some say they read it during the week of Parshas Beshalach. Some people are very religious and very pious, and they read it on a daily basis, as the Shulchan Aruch advocates, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to be all in favor of that minhag. And they have in mind that, you know what, I don't know what I can do. I'm in a, you know, man is in a very difficult situation. What can I do to guarantee that I'll have parnasa? I'm worried about my parnasa, and I need So of course, in natural terms, man is a natural being. He goes out, he gets a job, and he works X number of hours. I always tell my guys that the fellows that went from our yeshiva to law school, they would put in 80 hours a week in their first year in law school. And then when they got into the business world, they put in 90 hours a week. And again, I don't know how that's physically possible. I once tried to calculate it, it didn't work out. The numbers don't work out. So people think that, okay, I've done my maximum, I'm out there and I'm working hard, I'm taking on new clients and I'm taking new jobs and I'm trying to guarantee my future for myself and my family, it's all wonderful. And then they say, but, you know, they come to the rabbi and they say, well, rabbi, look, I'm doing whatever I can do, what can you do for me? So the rabbi says, look, I'm not a Hasidic Rebbe, I can't give you a holy bracha and say, you know, you'll be guaranteed parnasa in the future, but what I can give you is a skula. You know what a skula is?
Yes.
A skula is some sort of like metaphysical thing that you do, and, you know, it's supposed to happen, it'll have hashpos, lamaila, and bring down the shefa and all these, you know, mystical concepts. You know what your skula is? Read Parsha Saman. And people read Parsha Saman thinking that this is the skula, this is the, you know, the power that, you know, makes tremors up in Shemayim to bring down the and that's how they're going to guarantee that there'll be money in the bank. So what I would like to do is study with you a comment of the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. You know that the Gra wrote a, amongst many, many things that he wrote a bir on the Shulchan Aruch. And in this particular siman, in the bir on the of the Gra, the Shulchan Aruch, as to why we read Parshas Haman on a daily basis, he quotes three sources, and that's what I want to learn with you. And I want to see if, based on these three sources, we can come up with a whole nother pshat as to A, why we read Parshas Haman on a daily basis. Two, why Shabbos is directly connected to the man, and three, why the emphasis on this minhag of pashtida that was covering the man on both sides. Are you with me? So again, let me just go over my goal for today, so I'll keep it in mind myself. What I want to do is answer three questions. Number one, why do we read man, the parasha of man, on a daily basis, for those who have that minhag as advocated by the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Aleph in Shulchan Aruch? Number two, why is there a special connection between Shabbos and Man? Okay, that's Parshas Beshalach. And number three, what I'd like to try to understand is why the emphasis here at the Minhag of Pashtida that the Man was covered on both sides. Okay, that's my goal. So let me begin by quoting to you the Vilna Gaon. Okay, the Vilna Gaon quotes three sources as a basis for the Shulchan Aruch, who says, Tov, Lomar, Parshas Haman, B'chol Yom. And he says the following. Now again, Rabosai, what do you anticipate is going to be common to all these three sources? What do you, you know, without seeing them inside, as we're going to see now, what would you guess I'm going to find in each one of these three sources that the Gaon with his erudite scholarship is going to invoke? Each one is going to tell me what? That I should be reading the Parsha of Man every day. Correct? In other words, that's what the Gaon always does. The Shulchan Aruch says, you know, this is what the Halacha requires of you, and the Gaon will tell you Ayin Brachos, and he'll quote the Gemara Brachos that says this is what you have to do. That's what I thought I would see in the Gaon, and I was getting all excited about this. Like, where's the Shulchan Aruch coming from when he says that it's a very good idea to read Parshas Haman on a daily basis? Well, let's see. Let's go through the three sources of the Gaon, and you tell me if any or all of these sources tell me that I have to read the Parshas Haman on a daily basis. You're probably already anticipating methodologically where I want to take you with this. So first of all, the Gaon says the following. He says, one second, Ayin Perik Basra Diyuma. He tells you to look up the last perek of Yuma, Shalu Es Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. He doesn't tell you what daf it's on. He doesn't tell you what they asked Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. They didn't tell you what he answered. So that's what I'm going to try to do for you. Then he writes, Ubisota Mem Chesamid Beis. Okay, here he gives us a little more of a clue. He tells us where in Sota. He doesn't tell you what's there. And it says there, the Sanya Rab Lozar Gadol Omer, but he doesn't tell you what Rab Lozar Gadol had to say, and why that proves that I have to read the Parsha Man on a daily basis. So I'm going to try to fill that in for you. And then he quotes a Mechilta here in Sefer Shmos Lamed Daled Beis. So let's go through these three sources. The first one that he quotes is in Yuma. It's on, if you want to make a note of it, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. That itself is a game over here. Shalu Talmidav Shel Rab Shimon Bar Yochai Es Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. Mipnei Malo Yorad Lahem Li Yisrael Man Pam Achas B'Shon. When the Talmidim learned the sugi of man, what was bothering them? We know that the man fell. The pasuk says Dvar Yom B'Yomo. If somebody could help me find that pasuk, I don't want to take the time. But if you have the Chumash, it should be somewhere here on pages 166, 167. Why didn't Hashem bring down enough man on one day to last us for the entire year? Amar lehem, so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai responds, Emshol lechem mashal, lemah dover domeh. What is it similar to? Lemelech basav adam, sheyesh lo ben echad. He has one, a lone son,
bachelor.
No, not a bachelor, I mean to say, when you only have one child, what's that called?
Only child.
He has an only child. Pasak lo mizonosof pam achas bishana. See, he says to his son, come to me on such and such a date, and I'll give you enough money for you for the entire year. So what happened as a result? Lo haya makabil makbil pnei aviv el pam achas bishana. How often did the father see his son?
Once
a year. You know, it's payday, so he shows up to get his allowance. He decided instead of giving him an allowance for the entire year, he would give him the day's allowance. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, what's the nimshal? Af Yisrael. If a person, in the case of the Jewish people, would receive enough man for the entire year, then he would show up, you know, like once a year, he remembers God. But on the other hand, if he gets on a daily basis, he's going to come to Hashem on a daily basis, and kulam mechavnim eslibam laviem shabashamayim. Meaning, instead of dying of starvation, right, because the man fell enough for today, but, you know, tomorrow's a new day, I don't have man today, so what do? I come to Hashem, and I ask him to give me mine for that day. And as long as I have the right kavanah l'shem shamayim, Hashem will grant me the man for that day, just like the melech will offer his allowance to his son on a daily basis. That's the first source. Then the Gaon tells you to take a look in Sota Daf Mem Chesam and Beis. Tisanya, what do we find there? Rabbi Lozar Agol Omer, Mishi Yesh Lo Pas Besalo, what does he have in his basket? One bread. How long is that bread going to last? One day. The Omer, so he declares, Ma ochal lemochar. Okay, I have enough bread for today, but what am I going to eat tomorrow? Eino ela mikatnei ha'amuna. Such a person who's worried about tomorrow is considered mikatnei ha'amuna. He doesn't have a lot of faith. Then the Gaon quotes a mechilta in Parshas B'Shalach. What does it say in the Mechilta? If you take a look at the pasuk here, I think it's on page 168, it says over there, Vayomer Moshe, Zeh Adover Shatziva Hashem, Melo HaOmer Mimenu LeMishmeres LeDor Seichem. This is called the tzanset is haman, correct? And Moshe says, take an omer, a measure of man, and put it away for long-term protection, and l'mishmeres l'doro seichem, for all generations to come. L'man yiru es halechem asher hechalti eschem b'midbar botzi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. And that's going to be kach, if you see in the next post, it's in senes achas v'l'mishmeres l'doro seichem. Fine. And the emphasis here is this is the sustenance that God bestowed upon the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. So Rashi says here l'mishmeres, this is the mechilta that the Gaon is quoting in Siman Aleph and Shulchan Aruch, l'gniza, l'doro seichem. What's l'doro seichem? B'mei Yirmiyah. That something is going to happen at the time of Yirmiyah and Novi. Do you remember this, Rashi? It's a mechilta. And what's going to happen? Yirmiyah mochicham, he's rebuking the people of Israel. Lama einatem oskim b'Torah. How come you're not dedicating yourselves to the study of Torah? Vehem omrim, and they respond, naniach melachtenu v'nasav b'Torah, if we don't go to work and instead we dedicate ourselves to study Torah, mehechan nisparnes, how are we going to be able to support our families? Is Hotzi Lahem, Yirmiyahu knew where to find this in Senes Haman. He brought it out to them. And he said to them, Omalem Atem Re'u Dvar Hashem. It says here, Re'u Dvar Hashem. Shimu Lo Ne'amar. Doesn't say listen to Dvar Hashem, but Re'u meaning I want you to see something. What do I want to see? You know, we called it show and tell. His Re'u Bazen Nisparnesu Avoseichem. When the people of Israel, your ancestors, went through the desert, how did they support themselves? It was with this man. Harbe shluchim yesho lamakom, and God has many ways of supplying, you know, sustenance. Mazon li reyov, he prepares sustenance for those who fear him. Okay, Rabbosai, we finished the Gaon. The Gaon tells us three sources. One is Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the Gemara in Yuma. Number two is Rav Elazar HaGadol, the Gemara in Sota. And number three is this Mechilta, which Rashi quotes at the end of Parashas Haman regarding the Tzinsenes Haman and Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Which one of the three tells us, dictates, that we have to recite Parashas Haman on a daily basis? None of them. So what does the Gaon want over here? Okay. So Rabbosai, we're at the critical point in our discussion. And now, I'm hoping that at this very, you know, sensitive Parshas Drachim, how do we say, the crossroads that we're up to, we'll be able to break through a very important nut, crack a nut, that'll shed a light on man, and maybe will really reveal to us a little bit more about what it means to have faith in God. And I'm going to suggest the following. That when we recite Man on a daily basis, and we read the Parsha of Man, we want to learn a certain lesson. We are trying to teach ourselves, almost to train ourselves. And what are we trying to learn? So let's take a look at the challenge of Man. And now we're going to turn back to page 166. You remember that Hashem tells the people that they should go out and collect man on a daily basis. And that is in Pasuk Tezayin. Earlier, the Torah had already told us that when they went out of the machn in the morning, that's where they beheld the man that was covered with shichvas hatal. Okay, fine. We'll see in Pasuk Tezvav that when the people first saw man, they didn't know what it was all about. They couldn't figure it out. And Vayomru Ishal Achiv, this is in Pasuk Tezvav, Manhu. Manhu means what is it? Kilo Yadu Mahu. They didn't know what it was. And Moshe's response was, Hu Alechem Asher Nosan Hashem Elohim Liochla. This is the bread that's meant to sustain you. Okay, fine. Now Hashem is going to test the people of Israel. And what is he going to say? He says the following. Now we have to fast forward to page 167. And it says the following. Vayilkitu oso baboker baboker. They were called upon to collect a certain volume of man. And not more than that volume. If you take a look back in Pasuk Yutes, Vayomer Moshe Alem, Ish al Yoser mimenu ad boker. And what do? They try to collect a larger portion of man and leave some over for the next day. Why would they leave some over for the next day? Why were they so concerned about collecting more than what they really needed? Because the man fell down what?
Only once a day.
Right, only once a day. So they didn't know what would be tomorrow. You know, the cupboards are empty. Whatever supplies you have in the cupboard, you use them up during the course of the day. And now today is a new day. And this is what happened in Pasuk Chaf Lo Shamu El Moshe Vayarum Tolaim Vayivash. Excuse me, Vayiktof Alea Moshe. And Moshe was angry at them. They're going to have a similar test with regard to Shabbos, because it says with regard to Shabbos in Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayibayom HaShishi Loktu Lechem Mishnah, they took a double portion, because on Shabbos itself there was no portion. Fine. And all this goes on and on. The Torah says in Pasuk Chaf Vav, Sheishis Yom Until Ketu, B'Yom HaShvi Shabbos Lo Yirbo, there's not going to be any Shabbos, any man on Shabbos. Vayibayom Hashvi, Yotzu Minam, Lilkov Velo Motzu. They didn't find any man. Once again, the Jewish people were looking for man on Shabbos. And this is what's called Leman. Where's the Pasuk? Leman Anosam. I don't have it now. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. If anyone could find the Pasuk for me. But anyway, the Pasuk says, Leman Anasenu Hayelech B'Torasi Imlo. That Hashem says, collect only enough man for that day. And this is going to be a test to see if we follow Hashem. That we should never take more than today's man. And the Torah testifies that those who collected more than one day's man, Vayivash, it spoiled. So now the people come to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, if we fast forward, and they say to him, Bamen is Parnes. So you know what Yirmiyahu answers them? He says to them, well, what do you have in your cupboards? What do you have in your basket? So they say, well, we have one piece of bread. That's the last piece of bread, the last loaf of bread. It's going to last only for one day. What are we going to eat tomorrow? And therefore we have to go out and work and make a living. So you know what? Yirmiyahu takes out the Tzitzenes Haman. The Tzitzenes Haman is going to prove to them that their worry about tomorrow is not justified. The people, your ancestors in the Midbar, also were worried about what's going to be with tomorrow. And they wanted to take more today because they were worried about tomorrow. It didn't work. Because anything that they took for tomorrow spoiled. And that was the Nisayon Lamana Nasenu Hayelech B'Torasim Lo. In other words, are they going to rely today that since they have enough man for today, they don't have to worry about tomorrow? The message of the Tzitzenes Haman is that all you need is your Parnasa for today. That's called Dvar Yom B'Yomo, and HaKadosh Baruch will take care of you tomorrow. There's no need to worry about tomorrow. So imagine in this idyllic world of emunah, of faith, which is generated by the entire parish of man, if a person has enough food for today, he doesn't have to worry about tomorrow, because the man is going to fall tomorrow. And anyone who tries to get nervous and anxious about tomorrow and collect more for tomorrow, he's not going to succeed. Vayivash. It's got to be Dvar Yom B'Yomo. The time element here is critical. Now at this point, I want to quote to you the Gemara in Ksubis, which is not on the Gaon's list. Very famous Gemara, which I've often quoted in the past. It's on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Hahu Diasa Kami De Rava. Someone says, Rava, I need food. I'm poor. Well, what are you looking for? I'll give you a meal for today, but how much, you know, what do you want the meal to consist of? I want roast duck, the yayin yashin, and I want vintage wine. Very expensive. Aren't you worried that you're weaning off money from the, siphoning off money from the community chest? I have to give you, you know, as if you were Henry VIII over here. I mean, let's leave some money in the community chest. Amalei, atu miditu kachilna. Am I taking money from them? Midrachmana kachilna. I'm taking my money straight from Hashem. Dichsiv. It says in the pasuk, Einei chol eilech yisaberu. V'atano sein lemes achlam.
Beitam.
Oh, Harvey, you fell into my trap. It doesn't say, take out Ashrei, take a look. It doesn't say, be'itam. It says, be'ito. Be'itam lo ne'amar, el be'ito, in singular. Molame chikol echad v'echad nosein HaKadosh Baruch Hu es parnasaso be'ito. In other words, God gives you what you need for that time period, and it's coming straight from Hashem. Adahachi, the end of the story is, until they finally finish this discussion, in which this poor person proved from a pasuk that Hashem is directly intervening in supporting this honey. We're not siphoning off any money from the community chest. Asoy achte de Rava. Rava's sister showed up. Dolchazilei chleisar shani. He hadn't seen her for 13 years. The asilei, and she brought Rava tarnagola ptuma v'yayin yashan, roast duck and vintage wine. Amar. And he puts it in front of the ani. He says, "Mai de kamei shalchai kumechol." Hashem provided for you. We don't have to take money from the community chest. Come and eat it. Again, the same idea that the parnasa that we get is directly from Hashem, and it's be'ito. It's on a daily basis. That's why I think the Gemara in Yuma, which the Gaon invokes here, is very critical. What does the Gemara in Yuma want to tell us? That the king gave his son food for an entire year. He saw his son once a year. Came on until cash in day. He came with his receipt. You know, it's my... No. The Melech says, I'm going to give you, I'm going to provide for you on a daily basis. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to know that what we have today is enough for today, and we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because what we need for tomorrow, Hashem will provide us tomorrow. That's the message of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And finally, that's the message of Rav Elazar Gadol that the Gaon invokes in Sota Memches, that if a person has a pas besalo, he's got the bread for today, the Omer, and he declares, Ma'ochal Amachar, but what am I going to eat tomorrow? My cupboards will be empty. Eino Elmi Katne Amuna. He's missing the point that Lamachar, you don't have to worry about Lamachar. As long as you're covered for today, then you should know that on a daily basis Hashem will provide for you. When the Shulchan Aruch says that on every day of the year we should be reading the Parsha of Man, this is not some sort of school of power that Hashem will, you know, will listen to our school of reading the Man and will provide for us. No, Hashem will provide for us on a daily basis, but your challenge is to believe that you have nothing to worry about tomorrow. And that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi was telling the people and teaching the people when he took out the Tzitzenes Haman. What's the message of the Man? The message of the Man, says the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, is written in the Parsha of the Man, the Tzitzenes Haman, that on a daily basis you can rely on Hashem and tomorrow He'll take care of you. That's the Amunah and the Bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source for our Parnasa, and we have to live on a daily basis with that reliance on Hashem, that He will be the source of our parnasa tomorrow, just like He was today. And therefore, don't have a daiga of fear and an anxiety about tomorrow. That's the fundamental principle of faith, and that's inherent in the parsha of Man. And therefore, if a person is worried, how do I, you know, he comes to his Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, how do I guarantee that I'll have money in the bank? How do I guarantee that tomorrow I'll be taken care of? Yes, I have enough for today, but I have nothing for tomorrow. And the Rebbe tells him to read the Parsha of the Man. So he thinks in his mind, you know what, if I read the Parsha of the Man, it's a skula for Ashirus. You know, it's like people read the parash of the Ketores and they say, well, I'll become rich if I read the parash. I'll read the parash of the mind and I'm definitely going to be a rich guy. He's missing the entire point. Just the opposite. What the parash of man is trying to tell him is that you know goodnik, you're lacking in amuna, you're mikatne amuna, because the reason you're reading parashas of man is because you're worried about tomorrow. And the reading of the parashas of man is meant to teach you don't worry about tomorrow. Do you understand where it's dover v'fucho? There's a very paradoxical situation here. Yirmiyahu HaNavi took out the tzinsenes of man and he told him, what was the message of the man? Dvar yom b'yom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides you on a daily basis. It's going to be be'ito. Hashem will take care of you. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's the ideal emunah. That's not katnei emunah, but that's gedolei emunah. And that's what Yirmiyahu was demanding from the Jewish people at that time when they weren't being osek b'torah. They were worried about tomorrow's parnasa. I got a family, I got my wife to feed, I've got my children to feed. Now I married off my children, I got my grandchildren to feed. It's like endless, you know. The family keeps growing, Baruch Hashem. And the responsibilities keep growing. You know, when I got married, my parents said to me, you know, take your socks and take your pajamas and pack out and fend for yourself. But today, you know, it doesn't work like that anymore. You know, we've got to work for the next generations. So a person is very nervous about parnosa. You know, I maybe have enough for me and my wife, but I don't have enough for my 16 children, you know, and all their children. But the answer is, that's what the Parshas Haman is coming to teach us. Dvar yom b'yomo, l'man anasenu. You take more than today for tomorrow because you worry about tomorrow, and it's lo yivosh, it's going to be corrupted. Yirmiyahu wanted to set us straight about that emunah bitachon of worrying about today and not worrying about tomorrow. If today you're covered, you got your pas b'salo, don't worry about ma echol amachar. That's mikatne emunah, the Gemara in Sota of Rabbi Elazar Gadol. And if this be the case, Rabbi Osai, the purpose of reading Parashas Haman is to understand and live by this dictum, by this creed of Dvar Yom B'Yomo. Ah, you know what? Maybe that's why the man was covered on both sides. When they saw the man on the outside, they looked at it superficially. They were worried. They didn't really penetrate into the deeper meaning below the surface of what man is all about. They didn't understand the nature of man. Vayomru ish al achiv manhu. What is this? What is it all about? Velo yadu manhu means they saw that there was bread for the Jewish people, meaning some sustenance, but you know what? There's only enough for one day. They weren't aware of the fact that somehow this man is going to fall, not just today, but it's going to fall the next day and the next day. So they were asking, Manocha l'macha, what are you going to eat tomorrow? Exactly the question that was asked to Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. Yeshli pas besali, I have man for today, but Manocha l'macha, I'm only getting enough man for today and not for tomorrow. And therefore the Pasuk says, and take a look at the Pasuk, Tezayin, Pasuk Dalid, which is way back here on page 165, and there it says, U'boker u'ri'isem es kvod Hashem b'shamas tunosechem. Just one second, am I on the right page here? I'm sorry. Where did I meant to point to? Pasuk Dalit, it should be a little bit earlier here. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hidini mantim lechem lechem min hashamayim v'yatza'am v'lotu dvar yom b'yomo. You want to understand, oh, this is the Pasuk I was looking for before I finally found it. The Pasuk says that, you know what you're worried about? You're worried about tomorrow? Oh, no. They got to learn this lesson. V'lotu dvar yom b'yomo. This is Levana Nesenu. This is the Nisoyon. This is the true test that you should collect only for today. And once you have your pas b'sal for today, you should rely with total confidence on Hashem for tomorrow. Why? Because hineni mamtir lechem lechem min hashamayim. Because Hashem is committing Himself that there'll be lechem coming down from Shamayim on a daily basis. And it's interesting that the equation here is between man and matar, and mamtir. Mamtir is the verb, the noun of which is matar, which means, of course, rain. Rain, as you and I know, will come on certain days, like today is a rainy day, but on another day it doesn't rain at all. So we tend to think that, you know, the man is also like that. But Hashem says, no, I'm going to be mamtir lachem lechem nishamayim on a regular basis, dvar yom biyomo. In other words, don't mistakenly think that just like in the case of matar, you know, sometimes it comes and sometimes it doesn't come, and therefore the man is also mechusa, it's covered, just like the rain is covered, meaning the rain is particularly, what's the word I'm looking for, when something you can't grasp, it's elusive, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but the rain is very elusive, you know, it's very unreliable. The farmers are praying for the rain. You know, they get rain on one day, but not on the next day. And the man was mechusa. And that indicates that for the Jewish people, it's also unpredictable and unreliable like matar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, 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 no. You're missing the point. It's davar mechusa. But if you penetrate inside of it, if you get the real feeling for what the man is all about, and that's what the Gemara says, in Masech the Yuma, ubilvad shiyachavin es libo lashamayim, if you'll understand that you can rely on Hashem with that hashkafa, then you'll absolutely understand what the man is all about. You'll have penetrated through the kisui of man into the very essence of man, that the man is reliable, that you can take, you know, take yourself out of the anxiety role and late and have a reliance upon Hashem that's meant to relieve you of all this anxiety, because it's going to come yom biyomo. And that's what the symbol here is of the kisui, that man is a davar mechusa, the parnasa of a person is also mechusa, but the yesod that we want to learn from man, as we saw in the Gemara in Yuma, is that the melech says, come to me my son on a daily basis, Hashem says, come to me on a daily basis, have the kavanah l'shem shamayim, understand that the source of your parnasa is from Hashem, and he'll come. All Hashem is asking you is for this, that you have reliance that your source of parnasa is from Hashem. Be'ito, be'yomo, on every day. And if that's what you can, if that's the faith that you can have, then Hashem says, you know what? I will provide for you. And perhaps we can begin to understand why man is connected to the Shabbos. Shabbos is a day in which we see a bracha, a special bracha, on Shabbos. And there's a medrash in the beginning of Chumash that says, "Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi," that God blessed the seventh day. And the medrash says, "Birchu b'man," Hashem blessed the day of Shabbos with man. What's the idea of man on Shabbos? Here's a day of bracha, and how much work am we doing on Shabbos?
Nothing.
Zero. Exactly nothing. Nothing, no work. We are sitting idly. We are not violating any of the malachas, 39 malachas. We're not weaving and we're not seeding and plowing and harvesting. Nothing. We're not even cooking. And Hashem is providing us. And that's the Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi. Ravos, I ask you, I beg you to have new kavana this Friday night. It's the Shabbos of Yisro, which is the Shabbos of Shabbos, because the mitzvah of Shabbos is given in this week's parasha. And when you read in Kiddush, Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi, the bracha is the man. Why is the bracha of Shabbos a double portion falls of man on Shabbos? Because the message of Shabbos is that you will have a bracha even though you're doing nothing. And that's what Emunah is all about. You can do whatever you want, and you do all your ishtadlus, and you're required to do ishtadlus. That was the klola that was given to Adam HaRishon, passed on through generations. Bezeh asapecha tochalechem. But you should know, forget about all that. And that's where, if we go back to the Mishnah Berurah that we began with, the Mishnah Berurah says that why should we be reading man on a daily basis? Lahoros, he says, it teaches us sheyamin shekol mizonosav boin bashkocha pratis. He says that all your ishtadlus is not going to help you. And what does he mean when he says, he doesn't mean a skula. He doesn't mean reading man on a daily basis for this abracadabra magic, this spooky, supernatural shefa minashamayim. That's not what he's talking about. Oh, I'm going to read Parshas Aman, and that's going to give me school. No, read Parshas Haman and understand the message of the man. Let it penetrate into your heart and your soul. What is Emuna? Emuna means that all your parnasa comes from Hashgacha Pratis, Kol Mizonosa Boim Bashgacha Pratis. And that's Hamarbe Lohedif Hamamit Lohechsir. You can do all the work you want, but at the end of the day, you'll be left with the Omer LeGulgolas Lefi Ish Lefi Achlo, for the amount that your household needs of Parnos of Man. Ein Ribu Yishtadlis Moel Meuma. That's what we should be getting out of reading Parshas Man. And that's the connection, I think, between Man and Shabbos. And you know, there's a funny question that the Mefarshim asked. The Gemara Beis on Daf Tezayin is famous for saying, "Kol Mizonosu Shalom Ketzuvim Lo Mirosh Hashanah V'Ad Yom HaKippurim." That during the period of time, the 8 to 10 days at the beginning of Chodesh Tishrei, God will set for everyone in the books exactly how much is Mizonosu. So then, what does the Gemara mean when it says in Masechta Pesachim, "Kashem Mizonosu Shalom Kikriyas Yamsuf"? You know, it's very interesting that Parshas Beshalach that we read yesterday has two perhaps major highlights to it. Number one, Kriyas Yamsuf, and number two, the Parsha of the Man. And one could wonder, why are these parshas coming together? And I think the answer is because Kosher Mizonosov Shel Adam Ki Kriyas Yamsuf. What is the koshi here? What is the difficulty about Mizonosov Shel Adam? The difficulty is the challenge of Emunah. Will we rise up to the occasion and succeed in this challenge? Will we be able to come to Emunah Bitochon? That's what the man is all about. That's what Kriyas Yamsuf is all about. The mitzvahs are behind us. The yam is in front of us. Do we have faith? Do we believe and rely on God? He's going to take care of us. And therefore, Mizonosov Shel Adam is the same challenge. We know we have a pas besalah for today, but I have nothing in my cupboard for tomorrow. What should I feel and what anxiety should I experience? And that's the challenge of Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the parsha of Man. Dvar Yom Biyomo. The Emunah and the Bitochon that we should have from Kriyas Yamsuf into Man. And this is something that's the bracha of Man, the double portion of Shabbos, that you don't have to do anything because Ribu Yishtadlus is Lomayla V'Lomorid. It's the Shabbos and the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to guarantee the Man. And if we take that message to heart, says Yirmiyah, not only will we be free of the anxiety regarding our parnasa, the kosher mizonos of Shel Adam. Yeah, it's kosher because we don't have emunah. We're the katnei emunah. We have the pas besalah, as Rebbe Lossa said today. But malnochal lemachar, I don't have a pas for tomorrow. Is katnei emunah. That's why kosher mizonos of Shel Adam. And it's kriyas yamsuf because just like in kriyas yamsuf, we were in such a difficult challenge. And we didn't know where our Yeshua was going to come from. We had to turn to Shamayim. That's the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the bitachon that we have to have. And that's going to transfer over to Mizonos of Shel Adam. Yes, it's Katzav Lo Mirosh Hashanah. It's already been determined at the beginning of the year. But the question is, do you really believe that? Do you really understand that the source of your parnos is coming from Hashem? That's the challenge of Emunah. And that's why it's Kosher Leonam Kikriyas Yamsuf. It's a difficult challenge, but we have to face up to this challenge. If we do, the dividends are very high. The success rate is going to bring us tremendous bracha. Hashem will act towards us the way we act towards Him. If we have faith and reliance in Him, He will rely on us and He will give us our zchus to get this parnasa from Yad Hashem in Hashgacha Pratis of Mizonos is a result of the fact that we rely on Him. And that's going to solve the problem of Kosher Mizonos of Yom. The solution to the problem of Kosher Mizonos of Shel Adam Kikriyas Yamsuf is the Parsh of Man, the Tzinsenes HaMan and the message therein. And Yirmiyah telling the people you can rely on Hashem daily. Hashem will provide for you. And I just want to end the shiur with the Malbim. You know, I'm a big fan of the Malbim. I don't always understand the Malbim, but this Malbim I think I understand. If anybody wants, I don't have too many copies here, but at least you can look in this copy of the Malbim. Maybe I'll have you pass it back in case anybody wants to see the Malbim. The Malbim is on the Pasuk Tezayin Lamed Beis. Okay, now we're in Pasuk Lamed Beis, which you'll find on page, the bottom of page 167. And you remember that Hashem says about the tzinsenes haman, that you should remember the man, asher al-chalti eskem amin, v'hotzi oschem mi-eretz Mitzrayim. And the Malbim wants to understand, what's the connection between the tzinsenes haman, that we have to remember the man, and Yitzias Mitzrayim. And he says the following. The pasuk is coming lafuke to exclude a certain common mistake. What's the common mistake? Ki Adam al yachshov, he shouldn't fool himself into thinking, says the Malbim. Ki emas yushkach beprat, when will Hashem have hashgacha on the individual? V'yeh parnasoso derech nes, that God will intervene to guarantee a person's parnasa. Kishikfar hu dovuk bedarki Hashem, he understands all the ways of God. And manig atzmo bederech bilti tivi, he's on a high level, you know, he's on the level of miracles. And so rak oz yashlech al Hashem, then and only then can he rely on Hashem. Avol kol zman shelo yoch, shelo bo lezeh yochush lenafsheh, but if he hasn't reached that unbelievable level of encompassing all the Torah and all the anhagos and all the midos and all the munah bitachon of lamayla min hateva, then and only then will he be zochet hashgacha pratis. Oh no. Lachain, the Torah says, bo re'u emasai hechil asaman li Yisrael, when did the people of Israel receive this great gift of man? Hayim liachar kabbalah sator v'kiyuma, after they've already received the 613 and they've already implemented the mitzvos? No. Immediately, that's the Torah wants to tell you. They just left Mitzrayim. Have they received the Torah yet? Have they fulfilled its mitzvos?
No.
And Hashem is giving them man. Lachain, says the Malbim, call Isha sheyidvenu libo, if his heart will prompt him, lekabel olav ol darki Hashem yisbarach v'torasso, if he will commit himself to the mitzvos of Hashem, to embrace the Torah and all the hashkofas haTorah, then bal yidag me'ayin yovo ezri, he's already committed to the Torah, he doesn't have to worry. You know, Rabbeinu Yonah is very famous in his classic magnum opus, Shari Tshuva. He writes that if a person is makabal on himself to Torah, it's already as if he fulfilled the entire Torah. You know, Kabbalah Satorah is absolutely powerful, immensely powerful. Says the Malbim in a similar way to Rabbeinu Yonah, if you accept upon yourself the Torah and all its drachim and hanhagos, then you don't have to worry me, Ayin Yovel Ezri. Ki afshalo hishkiach adayim ilvavu kol darki olam, even though he hasn't removed from himself all the, you know, the culture of the world, that they don't believe in Torah, they don't accept Torah, they don't rely on Hashem, lo hurga b'Torah, he's not yet used to Torah, nevertheless, he's at a very early stage, he's almost premature, he's a little fetus in his mother's womb, but he understands in his heart Mataras levavo, the purpose of his heart is goli lahayodea talumas, is clear to he who knows all that secret in a person's heart, meaning to God in heaven. Ki kavanaso, his intention is lisamates, to engender, to energize himself bimaoz haTorah, with Torah. If he's already dedicated honestly and genuinely to the Torah, Yechaltzenu Hashem, Hashem will protect him. Lo Yazvenu, God will not let him go and ignore him. There's no Me'ayin Yavo Ezri problem here. V'yazmin parananoso mikodesh, from the Holy of Holies, from the Shchakim, from the upper heavens, God will be mazmin. He will already single out his parnoso. In Mirz Hashem, we should be zochet to try to strive at least in the ideal way to believe why we're reading the parashah of the man every day and what it's meant to teach us, and let the lesson of the man and its incentive saman penetrate deep into our hearts to bring us to higher levels of emunah, to inspire us with bitachon, and then we have no doubt that me'ayin yovo ezri ezri v'yam Hashem, our parnasa will come through hashgacha pratis directly to each and every one of us, bizmano b'ito b'chol yom v'yom, through the hand of Hashem, the generous and compassionate Yad Hashem of the hashgacha pratis ken yiratzon.
Amen.